Well, good morning once again. It's just, again, as I continue just to say, just a privilege to be here, to bring forth God's word to you. And so, this morning, I want to start off with a song. Interesting enough, I know we just got done singing, but I'm not going to do like a whole song, but I'm kind of worried about doing this song because it's one that does a lot of damage in good. A lot of people like it, a lot of people don't like it, so we'll kind of see where it goes. But while we're getting there, just real quick, if you have your Bibles, if you have your devices, go ahead and turn. We're going to be in Romans chapter 7. We're going to be in the last section. We're going to finish off chapter 7 today, verse 21. But Romans chapter 7, verse 21. But the song that I'm worried about here is, again, the reason why it's kind of dangerous is that it tends to be a song that doesn't really have an ending. It tends to just go on and on, my friends. And if some of that sounds familiar, then you grew up in the same kind of time period as I did. You had the same type of childhood TV that I did. See, back in 1992 to 1995, there was a TV show called Lamb Chop's Play Along. And if I can get this to click forward a little bit, there we go. Lamb Chop's Play Along. And it featured this particular lady here. Her name was Sherry Lewis. And the premise of the show was basically that Sherry Lewis would use this puppet, this hand puppet called Lamb Chop, as well as a couple other ones, Charlie Horse and a handful of other hand puppets, and she would go on these adventures, right? She would have these adventures that tried to engage the kids. Like, her main deal with her show was that she wasn't trying to say, like, just watch our show, just watch and enjoy, but, like, participate as well. So she had a lot of songs that she wanted the kids to sing along with. She had a lot of activities that they would try to guess and play along with. That was kind of her big deal, was to sing along and to get the kids to engage just as much as they were watching. And the song that I'm referring to is the one that ended every single show. Every single time that the show ended, they sang this particular song. And the reason why it's always a everlasting song is because the way that the song is structured is that the end of the song leads you right back into the very beginning. And so, just for demonstration's sakes, I'm going to sing it one time, and I promise it'll just be one time, because again, it technically never ends, so we're not going to keep going. But I'll put the lyrics here so you can kind of see what I'm talking about here. But it goes, this is the song that doesn't end. Yes, it goes on and on, my friends. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song that doesn't end. And again, I probably, like, that's it. Like, I'm not going to keep going, because again, you can see that there's a cyclish kind of pattern to this. And the reason that this happens is because in music, there's something that we call pickup notes. And these pickup notes tend to happen at the beginning of a phrase, or the beginning of a verse, whatever it may be, and they pick you up into the melody. And the way that this song is written is that last line, that forever, just because, it are pickup notes that lead you right back into the beginning of the verse. There is no conclusion. There is no ending to the song. It just goes on and on and on. And the reason I bring this up is today, again, as we're looking at Romans and we're continuing our series, Righteousness Revealed, we're going to be looking at chapter 7 and finishing it today. And so far, Paul has been walking us through, and he's been kind of teaching us what our relationship to the law actually is. Right? He's been showing us what it means for us to be under the law. Right? He's taught us that the law points out our sin. It highlights sin in our lives. But just because the law highlights and identifies our sin, it's not what causes us to sin, right? That's still our doing. We're the ones who are still sinning, right? And so as he continues through, what he goes to today, as we look through, again, verses 21 through 25, is that Paul now identifies to us and he shows us that sin continues to go on and on and on in our lives. And ultimately, it's not us who stop sin. It's not we who defeat sin, but it's Jesus Christ that defeats it. It's Jesus Christ who saves us, right? And so we're going to start off verse 21, and we'll go verse by verse as we kind of go through this passage. So verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I do right, evil lies close at hand. Right here, Paul leads us again, I think, to our very first point, right? That we are at war with ourselves, right? That there are sometimes that we want to do good things. There are sometimes where we want to do what God's commanded us to, but evil intentions, evil lies right beside us. Right, and so Paul uses this verse, let me go back a little bit here to the verse. Paul uses this phrasing, to be the law. Again, he uses it just kind of like he did in the beginning of chapter 7. That this isn't referring to, like, the law that was given to Moses. Right, this isn't the law that we follow as, you know, citizens of the United States. This is kind of like a principle of life. Right? And that's why some translations, like the NASB, they'll actually translate that, like, this is the principle in life. And so Paul is saying that the principle that he lives by, the principle that all of us live by, is that sometimes, again, we try to do good. There are sometimes we try to do the right thing, but even when we try to do right, we try to do what God's commanded us, again, there are evil intentions right next to us. There's evil right beside us. Right? Paul's teaching us, again, there is this war happening within us, that good is fighting against evil, that they are duking it out ultimately to see who comes out on top. And we have a bunch of different examples of this. Like, again, you have the light side versus the dark side when it comes to Star Wars. You have Mario versus Bowser. You have Iron Man versus Captain America. These are all different items, different ways that we've seen this battle of good versus evil. With each of these, they're all fighting for something, right? With Star Wars, they're fighting over I still fall into the first trilogy is what I'm really looking at here, right? So they're fighting over Luke Skywalker, right? Is Luke going to follow the light side, or is he going to fall into the dark side? With Bowser and Mario, they're fighting over who gets the princess. And when it comes to Iron Man and Captain America, they're fighting over superheroes, the Accords. I kind of forget exactly what it is they're fighting over, but they're fighting, right? They're trying to see who it is that's going to come out on top. And so within us, we have this desire, again, to do good. We have this light side, this Mario side, this I don't know who you choose on that side of Iron Man and Captain America. We have this side within us that's trying to do what God has commanded us to. But at the very same time, there's this other side of us that's pulling us. There's this other side that's fighting within us saying, no, we should do what's wrong. We should do what we desire to do. So we are constantly at war within ourselves. Right? And so this is what Paul sets us up with in this very first verse, that we are at war with ourselves. And so he continues into verse 22 and 23 to explain, like, what is this principle that we live under? Let me expound on it. And so let's read 22 and 23. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. All right, the second point that Paul teaches us in these two verses is that Paul brings us that sin is in every member of our bodies, right? That sin exists all across us, that everywhere we look inside of us, we find sin. So looking back to verse 22, Paul says that he delights in the law of God, right? That overall, he enjoys what God is telling him to do. He enjoys living under God's law. He enjoys God telling him how he should live. He sees that as a good thing. That he knows that as a follower of Christ, God's law has been written on his heart, and he desires and delights in doing it. And this is, it makes sense for us, right? If we've been in a situation where you've worked for a boss that isn't really that great of a boss, or you have a teacher that doesn't really know what they're doing as a teacher, like, it's hard to really follow what they want you to do, right? They try to tell you, like, hey, you should do things this way, but it doesn't make sense. Like, that's not how you solve the problem. Or they try to say, well, let's schedule the employees here, but they don't schedule enough, or they schedule too many, and there's, like, 90 people here doing nothing. You have all these examples of times where we've lived in a space where we don't really agree and enjoy the person we're serving under. But then something happens. Maybe you have a new boss come in, or maybe you have a new teacher come in, and suddenly, like, wow, this is a lot better, right? This is different. Like, I like how this boss treats me. I like how this boss acts. I like how this teacher teaches. Like, the way that they're teaching, it sounds right. Like, I can figure out how to get to the answer based on how they're teaching me. And it's at those points when you find this new boss, you find this new teacher, that you're just like, well, this sounds great. Like, I'd like to follow the instructions of this person. I like listening to the rules that this person gives me because it leads me to better things. And so this is what Paul is saying. When he delights in God's law, he's saying that he's found a good teacher, that he's found a good boss. He's found the greatest God. And he's saying, with this great God that I now serve, like, I enjoy serving him. I enjoy obeying his commands. Before all of us, we were all slaves to sin. We were all slaves to this bad boss, this terrible teacher. But now that God has come in, this good God that we serve, his instructions are good, and it is a joy, it is a delight to serve. And then we get to verse 23, and you see this but. Right? This but is this contrasting conjunction, right, that shows how everything he's about to say is opposite of what he just said. Right? And so in verse 23, he says, but I see in my members another law. Right? There's another law waging war. There's another flesh that's inside of us, another desire. Right? Instead of just following God's law, we see that we want to follow our own laws. Now, and this is what Paul was kind of alluding to last week, right? That he was teaching us that we have this battle between the spirit versus the flesh, right? That there are these two things at war with one another. And so this spirit of God that's within us is at war with this flesh that's within us. And so Paul begins to expand and to say that this war is everywhere. It's happening everywhere inside of our bodies. That every part of us is at war. And so if you want to think of it this way, like I have this cup of water up here. And so if you think of this cup of water, it's like as our bodies, right? If this were our bodies and this coffee mix here is sin, right? If we were to pour these together here and you were to mix these up and you were to say that this is how our bodies, ooh, that's the wrong cap. That would not be a good way to mix. So if you took our bodies here and you took this sin that's been introduced into them and then you shake them up and you say like, this is what our bodies look like. It is mixed in with sin. Everywhere you look inside this jar, everywhere you look inside of our bodies, you can see that it's dark. It's not clear. It's not clean. And the worst part about this, if I were to come to you and just hand you this jar and say like, you know what, I'm not really feeling coffee. Like maybe it's too late in the afternoon. Maybe it's closer to bedtime than I like. You know, I don't really want coffee. Can you take this? Can you give me just the water? Like, can you give me just the clear part? I don't want the coffee. Can you remove the mix? Like that's not possible, right? Our bodies are just like this, is what Paul is saying. That we are so well integrated into sin that there's no way that we can separate ourselves. There's no way that we can pull out the good that we know that God is calling us to, because so much of us has been muddied with the sin that is in our lives. All right, so this is what Paul is teaching us here, that our lives right now, our bodies are trying to fight the sin that's within us. It's trying to separate ourselves, but ultimately we are losing this fight against sin. Now, that's what Paul kind of phrases at the end of 23, right? That this law of our flesh, this law of ourselves waging war against us is making us captive once again to sin. And this sin, again, dwells within every part of our body. That even though we are at war, we are losing this war, and every part of our body is following suit, right? That our minds, they're filled with evil thoughts, with sinful thoughts. Right, we tend to think ill of other people. We tend to desire other things. We tend to covet, is what Paul was leaning towards a couple weeks ago. That our minds were filled with these covetous thoughts. That our tongues tend to say things that we shouldn't say. They tend to say sinful things. That we say things that hurt our partners. We say things that hurt our significant others more. We say things that don't bring glory to other people, that really bring glory to ourselves and not towards God. That our hands, they do evil things. They do things that they're not supposed to. They hit people that we're not supposed to hit. They do things that don't, in a way, bring glory back to God. And ultimately, that our feet bring us to places that we know that we shouldn't be in. Right? That every single part of our body is filled with sin, and every single part of our body is losing this war to do what we know God has called us to do. And so after hearing all of this, Paul brings us to verse 24. And his response to hearing that all of his members are sinning is just so fitting here. In verse 24, he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Right? We kind of went over a little bit of this last week, but I take comfort in knowing that Paul struggled with sin. Right? It doesn't make the sin that I do okay. It doesn't make the sins that you do okay. But it makes it more comforting to know that Paul struggled and that when I struggle, that that's normal. Right? That when we sin, again, while it's not a good thing, it's not weird. Right? You're not supposed to be this perfect person. You're not supposed to be this person who has everything together. Right? That when you look on Instagrams and Facebooks and whatever social medias and you see these perfect lives that people are living, that that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's the weird way. That's the abstract way. The right way is this broken life that we have right now. Now, that's what comforts me in seeing what Paul is saying here. And his statement of this frustration, of just wretched man that I am. He's saying that he is drowning in sin. Right, that every member of his body is filled with sin and he is drowning in it. And again, I think this is just so relatable. Right, so often we know what is wrong and yet we still continue to do it. We say to ourselves, we know that this is not the right thing to do. And we say like, you know what, that's the last time I'm gonna do that. Or like, that's the last time I'm gonna go there. Or you know, I'm not entering into that place, I'm not saying that thing, I'm not doing that thing anymore. And yet we just wait a day, you wait an hour, you wait a week, whatever it is, and you find yourself like, how did I get back here again? Right? We are just drowning in sin, is what Paul is telling us. And so today, we would phrase this, instead of saying, wretched man that I am, like Paul says here in 23, we would say something like, what's wrong with me? Right? Like, how am I not getting this? And I think the next question that he asks after making this statement is probably the most crucial of this chapter. Right? He says, who will deliver me from this body of death? Right, then again, we looked at that our bodies are mixed with sin, right? That we are completely cloudy. And so he asked this question, who is going to save us from this sin? Because as we went through back in chapter 3, the punishment for sinning, the punishment for going against God is death. And so who is going to save us? Who will deliver us from this body of death? And again, one more time, I want to remind us of where Paul is in writing this letter. Right, that this is not Paul's first letter that he's written. This is more likely his fourth, fifth, or sixth, depending on how you look at the time frames here. That he's writing this in his third missionary journey. That again, he's traveled more across the world delivering the gospel than some of us will probably ever do potentially in our lifetimes. That Paul is here talking to this church, not as the first church that he's planted, but probably like the third or fourth at this point. That arguably, Paul has done more for the gospel than most of the United States, perhaps even combined. And yet Paul is still here saying that despite all that I've done, despite all the good that I've done for the gospel, I still need to ask the question, who will save me? Right? This is the same question that we have to ask of one another as well. Who will save us? It's this idea that, again, if summer is now coming across us and things are beginning to open, and so again, if you imagine just walking into a pool, you walk over to a beach, and you see somebody like flailing around, you can tell like this person is drowning. Like you don't think to yourself, they got it, like they'll figure it out, like they can, they'll save themselves, right? You don't think that. You see somebody drowning, and you think like, I need to call for help. I need to throw them like a lifesaver. I need to throw them a flotation, a floaty, like even if it's just off my arm. I need to throw them something to save them because they cannot save themselves. And this is Paul saying that you cannot save yourself. We cannot save ourselves. We need somebody to come save us. And that person to save us from drowning in our sin is Jesus Christ. And that's what we look to here in this last verse, in verse 25. Paul says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me pause and continue for there for a second. This final verse, it tells us this last point that I want to deliver for us here. That we are to remind ourselves that we are to say, thank you, Jesus. Right? That when we ask the question, who will save us? We say, thank you, Jesus, because he's the one who saves us. That we return to Jesus and to Jesus Christ alone. Right, that as he looks through this, he shows us that in this passage here, sorry, I'm going a little bit around, he looks at this passage here and he says that it's through Jesus that he praises. And he doesn't even just say through Jesus, he says through Jesus Christ our Lord. He finds it so significant that he wants to use his entire name, essentially, all the titles that Jesus has been given. He uses everything that he has. It's the same way that you sometimes see, like with parents, when they say like your full name, when they want your attention. Like Christopher Sonny Sock, they want you to know, like what I'm about to tell you, this is serious. Right? This is the same thing that Paul is illustrating to us here. He says this is serious, that Jesus Christ, our Lord, he's the one who seriously will save you. Right? It's not a nickname, it's not a pet name, it's nothing like that. This is business. This is the real deal. Right? And this is huge for us as Christians. Right? Especially in our society today, because everyone has the answer for you. Everyone has the way that will save you from anything. Right? If you're physically ill, they're gonna tell you, well, you should take some vitamins, or use these essential oils, or combine these different ingredients of things, and that will make the special concoction that will heal you from whatever sickness you have. Or maybe they'll say something more like internally, like, listen to your heart. Your heart will guide you where you want to go. Right? Or if you think hard enough, if you focus hard enough, you can manifest your own destiny. That wherever it is you want to go, when you think about it well enough, you'll make it there. Or they'll tell you about your own salvation. They'll say that there are many ways up the mountain, right? That's kind of how it's phrased. There are many ways that you can be saved. It's not just Jesus. Or perhaps the worst one for me that I find is when they say that it's Jesus, but they'll add on a little bit more. It'll be Jesus and then some, right? That it's not just Jesus by himself, but it's Jesus and maybe you also need to pray a little bit more. That it's maybe you need to say Jesus, but it has to be like through me. I'm the one who communicates to Jesus for you. Or it's Jesus, but you only have to do it on a specific day. Like it's if it's not on Saturday, if it's not on Sunday, then you're not really communicating with Jesus. You're not really worshiping Jesus. Or you have to pray a certain amount of times every day, or you have to go to a certain place in order for this to be effective. Right? As Christians, as followers of Christ, as a teacher of God's word, I am happy to say that this is not the way. That the way that we are saved is through Christ, through Jesus Christ, our Savior alone. Right? That is when we place our faith in him and that action only are we saved. It's not because of anything else you do, not because of anything else that you don't do. It's only through Christ and Christ alone. And you would think that this is the perfect place for Paul to end. Right? Not even just like this chapter. Like he could end this chapter and it would be a good spot. But he could even end like the entire book. He could end like, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And they say like, well, I appreciate you guys reading my letter. Thank you guys so much. We'll see y'all next time. You know, he could end it right there. And we'd be like, this is great. This is an amazing way to end. But just like we do when it comes to parties, he doesn't just say goodbye in person. He says goodbye as you walk to the doorway. Then he says goodbye when you walk outside to the driveway. Then he says goodbye once you enter into the car. Like Paul keeps going here. And unfortunately, to keep going is he reminds us of the sin that we have. That we say, thank you, Jesus, for delivering us and for saving us, but reminding us that it's not us who can do it, right? We have no power within ourselves to save ourselves. Paul finishes this chapter reminding us that we need to serve God because we try to serve God, but our flesh continues to pull us back. Our flesh continues to pull us down back into sin. That while we are waiting for our true freedom to arrive when Christ returns, as believers, we continue to face these battles and our spirit wants to do good and our flesh continues to sin on and on and on again. And so here at the end of chapter 7, Paul has taught us that again, we are at war with ourselves, right? That we are trying to do good. We are trying to do the right thing, but we continue to fail. We continue to miss the mark, as sin often says. That we tend to know that evil is just right there next to us and it is fighting against the good that we are trying to do. We are at war with ourselves. And as this battle continues to go through, we notice that every member of our body is losing this battle. Right? That in every single way, as mixed as we are, as often as we try to be clear, we cannot. We are dirty, we are murky, and we are always going to be this way. That sin has infiltrated every single part of our bodies and there's no way that we can separate ourselves from it. That it's so well integrated that we are drowning in it, right? We are drowning in our sin. But despite all the sin, despite all this wretchedness that we are, we can still shout and we can still declare, thank you, Jesus, because it's through Jesus Christ that he saves us. And so from here, what I want to close with is I want to recommend that you install an app to kind of finish this off. And this app that I'm recommending is something that Apple and Android users, it's green bubbles, blue bubbles all together, right? Everybody can be happy with this here. Because this is an app that I'm going to say you install on your phones. It's an app that you install on your hearts. So the app that I'm recommending here is the first part is to be alert. That you begin installing alertness into your heart today. That we know now that sin is right at our side. Right, that sin is right next to us. And because of our actions, because of our good things that we try to do, we still know that evil is still creeping towards us, that evil is fighting to gain ground. And so we need to be alert. We need to be of how aware of evil is and how it can mess up the evil that we have and the good that we have in our lives, rather. That there's nothing that can damage our walk with Christ. There's nothing that can damage our testimony to others more than the evil intentions right next to us. Right, because if you think about it, if somebody gives you a gift and you're like, wow, this is amazing, and they come like, hey, can I ask you for a favor, by the way? You're like, well, you gave me this gift because you wanted something, right? Your intentions were not pure. You weren't just giving me this gift for fun. Right? It damages the gift that's been given. And so as you continue to communicate to others, as you try to gift Christ to those around you, be aware of the evil intentions next to you, because they will damage the gift that you're trying to give. The second thing that we do in this app is that we prepare. Right? As I've stated already, the war is at hand. Like, it is here right now with us. But that still doesn't mean that we can't prepare our defenses for when the enemy comes. That we do today, we try to read God's word and we try to educate ourselves. Again, we try to understand what highlights the sin in our lives. We try to continue to build up relationships and we tend to build community with the people around us so that when we need help, there are people here who can help you. Right? That we continue to prepare ourselves so that when sin does boil up in our lives, when it reaches a point where we can't resist it anymore, when the enemy is at our gate, we are prepared to defend it with the people around us and with the word of God at our side. And the final part of this app is to be preemptive. I don't know why that P is a little forward, but it's a little forward. So, preemptive. It should be behind it would have been a much better setup. But anyway, to be preemptive here, it's to know that no one knows you better than you do. Right? No one knows the struggles you're going through better than you do. No one knows what weaknesses you have better than you do. And so your goal is to be preemptive with the things you're struggling with. Right? If you're trying to diet to lose weight, you shouldn't be thinking like, well, I'm going to go to the Chinese buffet today, right? That's not how you fight your diet. That's not how you diet well. In the same way that if you know you have issues gossiping with people, then maybe you should delete that social media app or whatever it is that you continue to engage in with other people that you want to gossip things about with. Or maybe if you're in a relationship that you find just continues to tear you down, then maybe you need to put an end to that relationship. That maybe that relationship needs to come to an end so that you can stop tearing yourself down and start trying to build yourself up. Or maybe there's a place that you have that every time you go there, nothing good happens. And as much fun as you have with the people there and as much as you want to just hang out with those people, maybe you need to stop going to that place so that you can stop doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing. See, being preemptive here is about making the hard choices now so that you can be more blessed later on. And so to conclude here with looking at this app, maybe you're new to it. Maybe it's something that you've never experienced before. Maybe you don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that's you, then know that Jesus is here specifically speaking to you, right? That Jesus is talking directly to you, whoever it is that you are, wherever it is that you're sitting. Right now, Christ is talking to you, and he is wanting this relationship with you. He wants you to invite him into your heart, and he wants you to download this app into your heart, because he knows that it's only through him that we obtain salvation, that we know that it's only through him that we obtain salvation. And as I've said before, if you're listening and you're this far into the message, then again, this is Christ reaching out to you. This is him wanting a relationship with you. And so for those of you that have had this relationship with Jesus and you're downloading this app, maybe even for like the 100th time, as I like to say, my point to you would be, don't be ashamed. Right? Don't be ashamed of the fact that maybe this is your 100th time having to apply the same lesson that you've learned. Because when that happens, Jesus doesn't look at you and laugh. He doesn't point at you and laugh at your mistakes. No, he celebrates when someone who is lost is found. That Jesus will leave the 99 behind to come find you. And when he finds you, he celebrates your return. And so for everyone this morning, if you're making any kind of decision, whether it's to follow Christ for the first time or whether you're looking to rededicate your life in a particular way, then we ask you just to reach out to us and let us know, because we want to partner alongside you. We want to come alongside you to help encourage you, to build you up, to be there when sin is tempting you at the door, that we can help you resist, that we can help encourage you, and that even when you fail, that we can be there to build you up, to encourage you so that you can fight it off again the next time around. And so again, if you're here with us, I'm going to be up front during this next song. I'd love to have this conversation with you to go over and to, again, partner alongside with you and kind of discuss what these next steps could look like. And again, if you're online with us, you can email us. You can email at us. Again, that email is in the description below. We'd love to come alongside. And again, I promise you, somebody will respond to you within 24 hours. And so with all of this, we look towards this app that we install in our hearts of knowing that we need to be alert, that we need to be prepared, and we need to be preemptive. But I'd say the best part of this app is knowing that this app comes with 24/7 support. Right? That even if I'm not the one to respond to you, even if I'm not the one to respond to you right away, God responds to every single comment that you make. God responds to every single thing that you say. Every prayer, every request, everything that you have, you lay before God, and God responds 24/7. The minute you post it, He's responding. In whatever way that He does. Maybe He's saying yes, maybe He's saying no, maybe He's saying you need to wait. But regardless of what it is, God responds 24/7, and He is always there for you. And my hope and prayer is that maybe for you, you make that commitment to let God be the one to respond to you for the first time, or again, you continue to recommit yourself to this God that loves you, that has saved you, that sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And so with that, I hope and I pray that you come to that realization, that you come to that, again, acceptance of who it is that God is and how much He loves you. So with that, let me go ahead and pray for us. Father, we thank You again just for Your grace, and we thank You for who it is that You are. We continue just to lean into You. We continue just to desire more of You. And so, Father, again, would You continue just to watch over us and just help us as we go through? Would You continue to allow us to respond to this app that You have in our hearts? Would You continue just to lean into us and just continue to guide us as You see fit? And again, just continue to allow us just to glorify You, to worship You, to adore You. And Father, again, once again, as we come forward, as we enter into this time of response, would You give us comfort when we mess up? Would You continue to remind us that You celebrate when we return? That it doesn't matter that if it's been a day since our last mistake, that it's been 10 years since our last time that we visited with You. That You celebrate the return of Your children to You. And so, Father, again, would You allow Your Spirit to lead us? Would You let us know that You're here with us? So we do these and we pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen.